Blog Talk Radio.
We've committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share. And welcome back to the Transform Traveler. I'm your host, Rick Topini. We appreciate you joining us today, one day after Election Day, and we hope that you continue to travel around the world, and we hope that that we are appreciated as a nation. We've got an interesting guest on this morning, Nancy Perrot, who's going to talk to us about Canada. Nancy, welcome to the Transform Traveler.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me on the show.
Nice to have you on, too. And where are you located, Nancy?
I live in Maryland, right between Baltimore and Annapolis. It's a great place to live if you enjoy traveling and historic sites.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've had on in the past an individual who is related to the McCullough family of Baltimore and got into this wonderful conversation about the Civil War and found out that Melissa McComas had all these relatives with statues all over Baltimore. So it is that's a cool place to live. And how did you come about becoming an expert or a fan of Eastern Canada?
Well, I guess it's because my husband's ancestry is part Canadian. I've been doing family history research on my side of the family for a long time, and finally he's like, hey, what about me? And I contacted a lot of his relatives and got a link back to Nova Scotia. And once I started delving into the history of the area, I was just really interested in learning more about Canada and its history and why somebody would go all the way from Nova Scotia to the Los Angeles area. And actually, that ancestor had one relative who went to Burma as a missionary. So I guess traveling is on both sides of our family history. And then we decided to take a vacation to New Brunswick for some crazy reason, and we fell in love. And we've been back to Canada every year since.
Oh, my goodness. And just on a side note, when you're doing that that research on your family, what websites were you using to do most of your research?
Well, it depends. I use Ancestry.com a lot. They have great census records for the United States, so it's really easy to see where your ancestors are at any given point in history. You know, these 10-year snapshots are very helpful. And also, on the census records, you can see what your ancestors stated as their nationality, which is interesting. You can also get naturalization documents, border crossing information, which I did find for my husband's ancestor when he went back to Nova Scotia for what I'm guessing is a family visit. But there are a lot of other regional and local websites that you can use. People, you know, do county by county research, and they're generous and they share it online, and that's also been very helpful.
Mm. And it's almost a human treasure hunt, as has been described by some previous guests, and you're the second one in the last few days to mention that. That's really cool. New Brunswick, when we travel around the world as Transform Travelers, we try to awaken our five senses. So I'm going to literally go through the five senses with you on New Brunswick, if that's okay.
Sure.
And let's start with the sights. When someone travels to New Brunswick, what are some of the must see sites in that country?
Well, it's a province of Canada. The most famous site in New Brunswick is the Bay of Fundy, which is of course shared by Nova Scotia. The Bay of Fundy has amazingly high and low tides. You can go to a Bay of Fundy National Park or Hopewell Rocks, which is a little bit farther toward the head of the bay, and see within several hours a tide change of maybe 32 to 42 feet in a matter of hours. It's got the most amazing tides on earth as far as I'm concerned, and there's no describing it. You have to go and see it. It's just mind-boggling that, you know, you can be standing on the top of a cliff 1 minute looking down to see the bay floor, and then you come back several hours later and the tide's, you know, three quarters of the way up the cliff.
That is amazing. Is it because of how it's positioned against the ocean?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a complete accident of geography, but it makes for an absolutely fantastic vacation stop.
Oh, my goodness. That's interesting. When you go to New Brunswick, or do you and your husband typically drive in or fly in? Or
We drive. I was born and raised in L.A. County, and so I guess I'm allowed to say that driving is something that is part of my genetics. It's a long drive. One of the things that I tell people all the time about visiting Eastern Canada, the Maritimes and Newfoundland, that area, it's much bigger in real life than it looks on the map. Much, much bigger. So you do spend a fair bit of time in the car just getting there, but we like having the freedom of using our own car. And for a family trip, the difference between flying and renting a car and taking your own car, can save you a bit of money as well, which is really nice. Gasoline's kind of expensive there compared to the United States. That's something a lot of people don't realize. But, just the ability to go where we want. And if somebody says, hey, you ought to check this place out, then we can just jump in our car and go there. And we really appreciate that.
That is great. When it comes down to the best places to stay in New Brunswick, describe some of the most memorable places that you have stayed, and why would you recommend those?
Well, the first time we went to New Brunswick, and I have to mention, the first time we went there as a vacation destination, we stopped over since then en route to Nova Scotia, to Newfoundland, to spend a day or two just, en route. But there are a lot of bed and breakfast inns in the city of Moncton, which is sort of the largest city near the Bay of Fundy sites and the beaches of Shediac, which I'll get to in a second. There are, of course, plenty of, chain hotels in Moncton, but there are some beautiful old homes that have been transformed into bed and breakfast inns. And that's a really, really nice way to travel and meet other people who may have great stories to tell or have insight into the local area because they're Canadian and we're American, for example. There are several other cities in New Brunswick that are worth visiting. St. John and Fredericton are more west of Moncton, and they show more of the British influence on that part of Canada. New Brunswick was split off from Nova Scotia after the Revolutionary War. Many loyalists fled to that area, and suddenly they had more people than they felt could be easily governed, so they actually split the colony at that time of Nova Scotia in two, and that's how New Brunswick was created. So in the western part of the province, you'll see a lot of British architectural influence, which is really interesting to see. Another thing you can do is rent a vacation cottage. Along the coastline, Shediac in particular has the warmest beaches north of Virginia Beach, Virginia, because of the way the currents flow. And I lived in Virginia Beach, and I can tell you it's true because I got out there into the water, and I was amazed at how warm it was during the summer. So the whole area has tons and tons of little cottages and cabins you can rent for a week in the summertime, and that's really a delightful way to visit any place.
Is there a particular website our listeners can go to find out about renting one of those vacation cottages?
Well, we found ours, I think it's been several years now since we did it, but I think we found it on Vacation Rentals by Owner. If you want to go the bed and breakfast way, there's BB Canada, the official bed and breakfast website for all of Canada, has listings by city within each province, so it's a good way to look up bed and breakfast inns. And don't be put off by the fact that some have websites that are initially in French. New Brunswick is a bilingual province. So many people there speak French as their first language and English as their second language. But all the websites and travel web pages have English and French. So either way, you're going to get plenty of information.
You live in one of the oldest parts of the United States. When are most of the places up in Canada founded? Is it about 100 or 150 years before America?
Well, it depends on where you go. Newfoundland was actually settled in the 1530s, although mainly for cod fishing. So it was actually declared as a British colony. Don't quote me on this. I think it was 1538. The oldest permanent settlement in eastern Canada was founded in 1608, so it's just 1 year after Jamestown. remember that the French were exploring as well. So, and John Cabot came to. There's a dispute, really. Nobody knows whether he landed in Newfoundland or Nova Scotia first, but it was in 1497 that he went back to England and talked about what he had done and where he'd been. And so the history of Eastern Canada is actually as old or just slightly older than the United States colonies. Also, the Vikings came to Newfoundland in about the year 1000 and established a settlement there that lasted about 3 years.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go to on that point, because we just traveled to the Baltic Sea and Iceland, and you would think that we were 500 years behind in our history with Columbus based on what they think. So it's interesting to hear what you just had to say about history. And good job, by the way, of quoting those dates. Wow, that's impressive. I didn't know I was going to get a historian.
Well, that's part of what happens when you travel to Canada. I think you discover that, you know, there's a lot of points of view on history. And in the United States, we don't learn very much about the Canadian point of view or even about Canadian history. And I got very interested. Again, you know, my husband's family has roots in Nova Scotia. And so it's part of our family's history. And so I took the time to read up and learn about, well, the government of Canada, its whole history, that type of thing. Because to me, it's a lot more fun to go someplace if you understand how the things you're looking at got there in the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have a deeper appreciation for it. You mentioned cod a second ago about that one particular area. When you're in New Brunswick, let's talk about taste for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the favorite foods that you've consumed up there, food and beverage from that perspective.
Well, seafood is really popular in all of the maritime provinces. In New Brunswick, there is an abundance of lobster, and actually if you go around Canada Day or in August, you're bound to run into, at some point, some kind of celebration around lobster. We went to a lobster festival, and it was all lobster all the time for a couple of days. It was in Shediac, and lobster rolls are really popular. But another thing that people don't realize about that part of Canada is that that's where the Acadians lived. That part of that population became the Cajuns in Louisiana, but there are many Acadians who still live in New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island, and they have their own cuisine, and it's really, really delicious. They have wonderful meat pies and chicken and potato stews and kind of heavy, yummy, fruity desserts that are very fun to taste and try. So you don't have to be a seafood lover to try some new foods if you go to New Brunswick.
Oh, isn't that sounds fun, and it makes me hungry even at 9 o'clock here in the morning in Denver, Colorado. So that is great. And with that influence of the Acadians, did you get a sense for any interesting seasonings that they use that's different from what you may taste down in Baltimore?
Well, I don't say maybe seasonings, but a more of an approach that uses what they had. Again, the history kind of kicks in here. In 1755, the British, who had possession of all that area, drove out all of the Acadians that they could find. And they burned down their farms and put them on ships and sent them to mostly to their American colonies, to Virginia, Massachusetts, and so on. Again, some of those exiles went to Louisiana and became the Cajuns. But that spicy part came later. The Acadian food that I've had on my several trips to eastern Canada is not that, you know, zingy, spicy food that you would associate with Cajun food. It's much more robust comfort food. You'll find a lot of stews. They're called fricot because, of course, the Acadians spoke and in most cases now still speak French as their first language. You know, very hearty food, very filling food, because the Acadians who were able to come back couldn't get their farms back and they became fishermen, and that is really hard work. So you need lots and lots of calories to go out there and fish for cod and get it back in. And at the time, of course, there was no refrigeration, so it was hard work to get it in quickly and get it to market so that you could actually make some money off your catch.
I love that. Well, Nancy Probe, we're about to hit commercial here. Tell our listening audience how they can tweet to you and ask you questions about your travels in Eastern Canada.
Sure. My Twitter handle is Travel Maven, all one word, TravelMaven. So that's a great way to contact me if you have specific questions about New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland, Cape Breton Island, which is part of Nova Scotia, or anything else that you might want to ask about travel in Eastern Canada.
That is fantastic. Well, stand by. We'll be right back to Nancy Probe in a minute. Just want to thank our sponsors, MauiJoeCoffee.com, for their great support of this network. You can go to MauiJoeCoffee.com to find out more information. As we've talked about in the past, this is a company that creates artisan coffee using combinations of various beans, and we're sipping on it right now. And it has Brazilian for kind of an earthy tone, Guatemalan, and then Kona beans from Hawaii for a really nice sweet aftertaste. And we always talk about taste on this show, and we think that Maui Joe coffee is one of the best coffees that you can consume, unlike some of that Cajun coffee that you now have to drink in New Orleans. So it's a wonderful beverage. And then we also want to thank Gracefully Yours greeting cards for their support. You can go to gracefully-yours.com to find out more information on this company, and you can buy their product at many stores out there, including Lifeway and Family Christian, or just go online to gracefully-yours.com to find out more information. And then lastly, thanks to Mission Capital Management. This is an investment firm that can take your money, get higher yields. We don't know what's going to happen as a result of Obama being reelected yesterday, but you can kind of take matters into your own hands, call up the folks at Mission Capital Management, and you can be guaranteed that you'll be provided some wonderful personal service. So go to missioncapitalmanagement.com to find out more information. Now back to Nancy. Okay, Nancy, now we're going to break down the other three senses. Let's start with a question about the weather, though, and the time of the year. What is that optimal 1 or 2 weeks out of the year that you've traveled up there where you've enjoyed the weather the most?
Well, we really like to go during the first week of July, partly because we love participating in Canada Day celebrations. The United States does not have the market cornered on fun national holidays. Canada Day in every part of Canada I've visited on July 1st is just a fantastic time to get out, and, you know, towns have concerts and fireworks and festivals and all of that type of thing. So we tend to go the first week of July, partly for that and partly because the weather is usually quite nice. One thing you have to think about in Eastern Canada is black flies and mosquitoes. So particularly if you're doing a lot of outdoor activities, and there are many of those to enjoy, you want to look online, maybe in Canadian travel forums. That's a good place to find information about when the black flies are flying around, because they are tiny little flies that bite like heck, and you really don't want to be there when they are having their way with all the people who are out there. They can get into your clothes and bite your head, and, oh, it's not very fun. And that varies place to place. It's important to do that research yourself for the days you want to come. The typical traveler season in Eastern Canada starts about the middle of May and ends about the middle of October, because most people don't want to go up there when it's snowy, especially if they're not very good at driving in the snow. An Eastern Canadian will also tell you there are two seasons, winter and construction season. So if you do go during the summer, you plan a little extra time when you're driving around, because that's the time when the Canadian roads departments are working on construction projects and filling in potholes and building new bridges and that type of thing. So there might be a few driving delays if you decide to go that way. But it's worth it, I promise.
That's great. You're so insightful. We really appreciate that. And I've got to swing back to this bed and breakfast thing, because half of that is breakfast. And when you wake up in the morning and you smell a great breakfast cooking, there's nothing quite like it at a bed and breakfast. So if you could tell us a little bit more about the breakfast aspect for the Canadians, what's a typical breakfast like that you would get at a B&B?
Well, the typical breakfast would be, first of all, you'd probably have a lot of coffee. Wherever you go in Eastern Canada, you will find places where you can drink coffee, including the ubiquitous Tim Hortons fast food and coffee chain, which is a real local institution. We're big fans. But you will probably wake up to the smell of coffee, probably some eggs, definitely some kind of fruit or berries. That part of Canada is known for its berries. One of the best breakfasts I've had in New Brunswick in particular, we stayed at a bed and breakfast in Moncton, and we had these fantastic poached egg cups that were they were in crispy shells and these perfectly poached eggs, and it was just amazing. And the owner was the chef, and he's like, oh, this is no big deal. And I'm looking at him like, well, it's a feast for the eyes, and I'm not going to look at it very long because it smells so good, I've got to eat it now. So.
And what was the name of that bed and breakfast with the poached egg?
Let me see if I can find it. I wrote it down somewhere here, and now
and
I'm not going to find
I'm gonna,
it.
I'm gonna fill some time here.
Sure.
And, we're talking to Nancy Perrot about travel in Eastern Canada, and she is so enthusiastic about this part of the country. You know, you don't have to fly to Europe to get to that cultural experience that everyone talks about. You can go right here within North America to your own beautiful Canada, and even go up the Hudson Bay just to visit interesting people. And it is a beautiful, beautiful country. And I can tell that we're going to have Nancy back on again to talk about some of the other provinces of Canada, because it is a lovely country. And she talked about Tim Horton. When my company was previously headquartered in Cambridge, there were, I bet you, 14 Tim Hortons within 20 miles. And so I am a Tim Horton coffee and donut fanatic.
you and all of Eastern Canada. kids had fun counting the cars in line every day. Whenever we would drive by, when they would count all the cars in the drive-thru, because there were always at least five or six.
Absolutely. And we actually, Nancy, we actually were participating in that pay it forward deal one year, where we would go, we would say, just, we're going to buy the coffee and the donuts for the person behind us, the car behind us. And we'd always see such a happy smile on the person's face and wonder if they would do it for the person behind them. So it was part of the friendliness and the genuine, authentic people of Canada that we just love.
Absolutely. One of the things that I like to tell people about Canada is that all you have to do is ask one question, and it can be the simplest question, and you can get into a conversation with almost anybody very, very quickly. And if you ask how things are done and why they're done in a specific way, everybody is happy to tell you. You might get an opinion about the United States that you haven't heard before, but that's all to the good, because that's why we travel to other countries, to find out other perspectives. I do have the name of that bed and breakfast if you'd like it.
Sure.
It's called Au Bois Dormant. The owner is French-speaking. He speaks English fluently as well. So I can spell it for you if you would like.
Please do.
Okay, it's AUBOISDORMANT. And it's on John Street in Moncton, New Brunswick. And as I said, if you go to bbcanada.com and you look up New Brunswick and then Moncton, you can find links to that bed and breakfast website, and you can see photos, so that you can see exactly how much fun we had staying there.
And, you know, there is an art to making a poached egg.
Yes, one that I do not understand.
Most people don't respect that, but when you see it and you eat a great poached egg, there's nothing quite like it. Well, talking about the people, because that's really the touch side, who are some of the most memorable people that you've met in New Brunswick? And why should Americans just feel at home when they go to that province?
Well, one of the most interesting things that happened to us was we went to, this is going to sound very cheesy and bizarre, the world's largest lobster sculpture is in Shediac. And it's a very, very large lobster sculpture. And kids love to climb on it and sit on it and pose for photos. And there are some little tourist shops right next to it. So it is, you know, definitely a touristy spot. But what happens when you have kids climbing on the lobster is that you are standing around with all the other parents. And before you know it, you wind up talking to people, and that's what happened to us when we were there. And we started up this big conversation with a family and heard all about their trips. And actually, my daughter has stayed in touch with the young lady she met on top of the lobster sculpture. It's been about 5 years now. And that's just a typical thing that happens when you're a parent standing around watching your child do something. I often tell parents to take an inflatable, you know, soccer ball, beach ball on any trip to another country, because if once your children are kicking a ball around, then you have no choice but to talk to their parents somehow. Mm-hmm. It's a great icebreaker. Another fun thing, I'm sorry?
No, indeed it is. That is a great idea on how to engage. Keep on going.
Okay. Another fun way to meet people is to go on a hike. There are plenty of places to go hiking in New Brunswick and all over eastern Canada. The Bay of Fundy National Park is there. There's another national park with a big, long name, Kushibuguak, which is more toward the coast and is very well known for its beautiful natural views. And all of the national parks in Parks Canada have lovely hiking trails, and you can get good maps for them. And Canadians are just friendly, and, you know, you can just say hi, and before you know it, you're talking to people. It's really fun. That's one of the main reasons I enjoy going back to different parts of Canada every year. One of my lifetime goals is to go to every province of Canada.
Mm. What a great goal to have, and that is fantastic. And when we get down to the interesting smells and aromas of New Brunswick, does the Bay of Fundy come into mind in terms of the smell of the sea and the freshness of it to you, or is it about smells of food or the smells of the city?
Definitely smells of the sea. New Brunswick has a long fishing heritage, so a lot of the little towns along the Bay of Fundy will have fishing boats, and that's interesting to see depending on when you go, because if it's high tide, of course, they're tied up next to a pier and everything looks like you would expect. And you can smell sort of, you know, the bay and the fish smell, and you can, if there are a lot of seabirds there, seabirds smell too, not necessarily the most wonderful smell in the world, but they do have a smell. And then, if you come at low tide, the fishing boats are sitting on the bottom of the bay in the mud, which is kind of interesting. But either way, you can smell the smell of the bay comes off. The winds are pretty strong most of the time, and so you also get whatever smell is being blown to you by the wind. Near the water, it's often fish. If you're lucky enough to be standing next to a restaurant, then you get to smell something really, really nice.
I bet so. And then, Nancy, if you were to close your eyes right now and hear the sounds of New Brunswick, what would we hear?
Well, if the weather was foggy, you would hear foghorns along the coast because there are a lot of lighthouses. As in New England in the United States, you know, the shoreline is variegated. There are lots of little islands, so there are plenty of lighthouses, and a lot of them have foghorns that are quite loud. Depending on where you go, you might also hear some music. There's an Acadian music festival in August that emphasizes the Francophone heritage, the French-speaking heritage, and the Acadian musical traditions. And those are very much like Cajun music in a lot of ways. The French accent is quite similar to me, anyway, and similar instruments are used, so that's a really great sound that I associate with New Brunswick.
Now, that's tremendous. Nancy, you are a great guest to have on this Transform Traveler show, and tell our listening audience one more time how they can get in touch with the Travel Maven.
Well, if you go on Twitter, you can look for me under Travel Maven. There is someone else with the Twitter handle, The Travel Maven, but I am just Travel Maven, TravelMaven. And if you look up my name on the internet, you can see the websites I write for and send me an email that way. And I will look forward to hearing from the listeners here and answering questions about travel in eastern Canada.
Well, fantastic. We will have you back on again, and it was great to have you on. You're a wonderful expert. And, folks, one of the things that you take from Nancy's show this morning is the fact that she's into history. And I think that when you engage in the history, you'll have a better understanding and appreciation for all the everything that New Brunswick or any of the provinces have to offer. Thanks again, Nancy, for being on.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it very much.
You bet. And, folks, we just want to encourage you to get out there and travel, find out more information, do some research before you travel, and we know that you will fully enjoy it. Folks, be transformed as you travel, and happy trails.